We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us. Amazing grace,
how sweet. Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus coming into your homes or by the way of computer. We appreciate God's blessings in the year gone by. We also understand that there was a lot of tragedies that have happened, earthquakes in various places and all kinds of troubles, fires and droughts and mudslides and one thing or another has transpired in the day gone by. But we're looking forward unto the return of our Lord, and the day this year may be the year, my friend, because all things are coming to pass as has been written in the Word of God for over 2,000 years ago. And we're looking at these things today. If people would open their Bible and read and understand that these things are upon us and would have no trouble of knowing that the time of the end is now upon us. And we're looking unto the time that when the Lord will come and take his people out of it and there be trouble such as never was before. But we understand that tribulations is going to be, but the great tribulations as our other wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the sinner and the ungodly and the unbelievers. So we need to understand in these days that we live in that we need to get it right. We need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus because that's the only name whereby that we can receive salvation through. And we're looking now at the days that are spoken of in the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. At times that God got tired of the sins and the things that was going on in Genesis and with the time of Sodom and Gomorrah and with the things that has happened and transpired by then. We know by reading his word that he drove out many nations because of their abomination and slew many of them and put them all down, and how he slew the Egyptians there, the whole army and Pharaoh in the sea and drowned them because of their ill treating and all these things. And we got to realize that God's word is being fulfilled. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's entirely up to you. But if you take time to read your Bible and look into it and see where it is and see what it has to say about these days that we live in, it may change your mind and it may be the way that you would come unto the Lord and save your soul. I can't do it, but he's the only one that can. So, my friend, I encourage you to read your Bible, look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for the day of the Lord is nigh at hand, and it's soon to transpire, and the way that things are going, it could be this year, could be it. Now, they're looking for the presidential runoff in year 16 of 2016. We may not even have opportunity for a president or nothing else by then, but nevertheless, let's look at the scriptures and see and be prepared. At the day and the hour, I know not, but the time of the fulfillment, as the word of God says, when we see these things, the generation that sees these things come to pass, that generation will not pass away until all things be fulfilled. So now God looks at things different from you and I. His timeline is different from yours and mine, and he doesn't live in time. He is time himself. With him, a day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is but a day. But he is the one that's got control over it all, so we need to look to him. And the only way that you're going to get into him, and know what he wants you to do is by the reading of the word. God used to speak to the patriarchs of old through by his voice out of heaven. Out of many other ways he spoke to us. He spoke to Moses in the fiery bush. He spoke to others in different ways. but he speaks through his word today. And he spoke to them by the prophets of old. And that when Jesus came into this world, he spoke directly to men. And therefore, now that man has rejected him, he speaks to us now by his word. And many of these prophets that come along, self-made prophets that come along and says this and says that. Well, you take that with a grain of salt, but read your word. Find out what his has to say about the things that are up on the earth now, the things that are being fulfilled in the word of God, and show yourself to be something other there of a reader, and therefore come forth, and you know that these things that are happening now was told by the Lord himself and of the prophets of old over 2,000 years ago, and they're fulfilling in our very present day, in our time today. My friend, I've been around for a little over 80 years, and I've seen some things happen and transpire in those things, but I'm seeing in the scriptures that the fulfillment of God's word is nigh upon us, and his nigh return is closer than it was when I first believed or when you first believed. But all of the signs that are pointing to his soon return is being fulfilled today. So take heed to the word of God. Read it for yourself. Don't take somebody else's word, not even mine. And I would not tell you something wrong intentionally. I'm fallible like any other man, but the word of God is going to stand forth. And whether you or I heed to it or apply ourselves to it or allow it to be applied to us, it's entirely up to you and I. But I choose to serve the Lord. I hope you will also. But my wife's got something other here now that we want to read for you and give you some input of what's going on in the world and looking at the things that's happening, and therefore, be thee ready. Receive the Lord, believe the word of God, and call upon the name of the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Well, that's the only way that you can have that blessed hope of salvation is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's my wife here with something other for you.
Praise the Lord. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for taking time to take time for Jesus and to hear the message God's given us today. Our goal is to preach the word and to save your soul from a burning hell. As we start the new year, as John 3, 3 John in the second verse, it said, I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And it's our sincere prayer that this broadcast finds you in good health and living in the blessings of our Heavenly Father. 2014's passed with all of its good and its bad events now in the history books. The fall weather, like so many other things that we have seen, has been hard, but even brutal, to many people and nations around the world. Our prayers go out to those who have lost their homes in fires, floods, and disasters. One can't help but think that the penalty of the nation's sins are being released on the proud and haughty, with time being cut short. God never changes. His words are true. His will and pronouncements do not change, and they will come to pass. The only thing that his grace might change is when they occur. In the judgment of Nineveh, the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, was postponed because the king and city of Nineveh listened to God's words that Jonah preached in 2 Kings 14 and 25. However, after the newness of their repentance wore off and they returned to their sinful ways, the penalty of their sin fell upon them and their city was destroyed. Sounds like things are going that way here in our world today. The ungodly living in everything, and I believe one of these days that we're going to have more trouble than you can shake a stick at. More than ever before, the Christian must stand on the word of God for strength and survival. In Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions will not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We're looking forward to the upcoming of 2015. It's not because we're getting a fresh start in another year, but this may be the year whenever Jesus comes back and the door of salvation will be closed. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it is going to close. And those that have not answered the call is going to be lost. There's a far more important door that we must enter before it closes. It's the door of God's mercy. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Christ came and died for our sins and rose from the grave. He opened a way for us to be reconciled to God and has proclaimed us for the day of salvation. Today is that day, but the day of mercy will close. To those who received and served Christ, he'll come and say, 'Blessed are you and my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you.' But those that don't know him will be turned away." And then you can find this in Matthew, and it said that you do iniquity, and he'll say, "I never knew you." Our response to Jesus Christ determines our destiny. But today, Jesus invites, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And are you entering Jesus to calling on him today for salvation? There's so many things going on in the world, as we've said many times. Things are happening, friends. If you don't believe it, you take your Bible, compare it with the things that are happening right now in the world today, and you will see that Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah, before the flood and before Sodom was destroyed, all these things that are happening today happened back then, and the judgment is coming. I'm telling you, friends, we can't stop what's going on, but all we can do is pray, 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 pray that things will become better, but they won't. But pray for your loved ones. There's many of them out there that are unsaved. Pray for those that are living a life as if there's no tomorrow. But today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. Jesus said in Luke, I believe it is, in 33, it said that today is a day of salvation. "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." This is in red. If you've got a red letter Bible, it's written by Jesus himself in Luke 13 and 3. The whole Bible was inspired by him. He was from the beginning. He was from A, Alpha to Omega, from Genesis to Revelations and everything in between. He said, "I come," in the volume of the book. And if you would like to know where these scriptures are that we have here, it'd be appreciated if you'd email us to ecomptone31@yahoo.com. Take a little bit out of time of your day and email us. Let us know what you think of us. Give us something that we can share with others. And I just pray that 2015 is going to be good for all. As the Bible said again, "I would that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers." May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Friends, we are living truly in the last days, and we got to understand that God's word's going to be fulfilled, whether we like it or not. His mercy endureth forever, and his grace is sufficient. But if we look into the scriptures, and we find out that God spoke to Noah at the time, and the wickedness of mankind had got to be in such way that it became a stink in his nostrils, even repented that he even made man. So he told Noah to build an ark. Now, Noah worked on the ark, him and his sons and his family there, for 120 years. And Moses wasn't a young man then, but when he started on it, but it built it there, and the time that it come to pass that the ark was finished, and God told Noah to come into the ark with his family. He brought animals in, that all kinds and species and all kinds there, male and female, he brought into the ark to save, which some of them was good and some of them was bad, according to the scriptures. Them that which God considered was bad, it was mostly for consumption of the man's food, but nevertheless, we got to understand that God created man and on the face of the earth, out of the dust of the earth, in his own image and in his likeness. Then he put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib and created a woman. And he brought forth there unto the man, and that was the marriage institute that God had brought forth. And that's the way he made it to go. You cannot prosper and be in health and replenish the earth by man with man or woman with woman. But my friend, we got to realize that God had everything set in order, and he's not changed it. He set it in order then that it would be done, and it's going to be according to his will. Oh, the devil, the god of this world, got into the minds of the hearts and disordered them and made them believe a lie that this is the way God made me, and they men with men and women with women. But God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for that very thing. And Abraham asked him, "He would 50 people, would you spare him for 50 righteous?" 50 he would. And he kept on till he got down to the time of 10 righteous. I suppose Abraham thought Lot was even lost. A lot of his sons and daughters were. Him and his two youngest daughters and his wife got out of Sodom, but because of disobedience, which got us into trouble to start with, after they told him not to look back, his wife had to look back. The problem with a lot of people today, they're looking back upon the things of the world instead of keeping their eyes on the Lord and seeking after him. It's time we got to understand, looking back, my friend, is not going to get us further but backwards. But it's going to cause us to stumble and fall like it did Lot's wife. She was turned, according to the scriptures, turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back after she was told not to. Now, God has not been so harsh with the things that he done back in them as he is today, but he's kept it all in reserve. As the time of the flood, the earth was destroyed and all the things thereof, except them that God preserved in an ark. Therefore, we got to realize that now that he says that they've kept in reserve for the fire against that day. So we realize that Noah and his family escaped over the flood in the ark. My friend, the only ark of the safety that you've got now is in Jesus Christ. He came into this world to die for a sinner such as you and I, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity since the fall in the garden. And God provided a sacrifice that would bring man back unto him as to when they fell in the garden. And that sacrifice was his only begotten, full of grace and truth, God incarnated in the flesh, as the scripture says in Genesis, that God spoke his word and everything transpired and happened. And God looked at it and said it was all good. But in John, first chapter, he said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So these people that are going around and looking at three and four gods, and there's only one, and his name is Jesus. God to Mary and said she would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name should be called Jesus. We know that if you read the Old Testament back in there, one time Melchizedek, well, Jesus was made after the order of Melchizedek. but he was there after Abraham come back after he had rescued Lot and them from the kings and everything. But I want you to think about it. There he was without beginning or end, without mother or father, and therefore he was the prince of Salem. And therefore he was there at that time was God, because Abraham gave a tenth of his tithes to him, of the slaughter there and everything. So we got to understand that God has spoke to him in many ways in the Old Testament, but he speaks out of his word today, them that the Lord came and give to the apostles by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God moved upon them to write unto us of the things that will be and has already been and will come to pass in the near future. My friend, you got to realize that God has authority of all. He is all. In him there all things exist and held up by the power of his word and by his own right arm of salvation. You just can't get around it no other way. How many people goes and brings forth many different things, and they jip through the scriptures and they try to tell you this and tell you that, but you read it right and rightly divide it, you'll find out what I'm saying here is right there in your Bible. So it's time that we begin to realize Noah found grace in the sight of God, and God spared him in the ark after, but he worked 120 years in the building of the ark. But in the time that he come up there in that time, and then when he got off of the ark and the man was replenishing the man earth again with man. But I want you to think about it. In Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham went out, and him and Lot and Abraham stood there, and Abraham gave him a choice of what he would do or where he would go. And he said, you go to the right, I go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Lot looked over towards the plain, the city of the plains, where there was plenty of fresh green vegetation, water, and all that was towards Sodom. And I want you to think about it. And Lot chose those things, and he wound up in trouble. But the finality of it is that God destroyed Sodom because of the Sodomite. The lifestyle they had was which we call homosexuals today. God forbid that to be in the Leviticus law. He said man should not lay with mankind and as a laying with a woman. And we need to understand, and you'll find that there in Genesis 6 and 5, we find out that how that man had come up to be so wicked. Sodom and Gomorrah is a part of that part of the wickedness there in Genesis there. And God destroyed it with fire. He eliminated it. And he's not going to call them back and apologize to them for the destruction of them things that he had laws forbidding that kind of stuff. But he's going to destroy them that do those things and them that have favor with them. So we got to realize that we are living in those days. In those days, there was marriage and giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking and being all kinds of things and all things, but they were living in sin, corrupted by their own desires of the lust of the flesh, an abomination in the sight of God, and God destroyed them. We're looking at it today. They have come up now that they want to get married, so many thousands of them ready to get married, and then that'll be Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. My friend, it may be that when all the nations around and the states get it all past the laws and the judges that are upholding this and helping pass the laws to allow this to go on, it's the scripture says that as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, being married, marriage and giving in marriage and doing all kinds of things until the flood took them away. Well, Jesus is coming soon, and we won't be caught up into an ark by a flood, but we that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, having the seal of God in our hearts and on our foreheads, if you want to put it that way, according to the scriptures. I don't believe God's going to put a brand on you or nothing like that there, but it's a knowledge of the truth of God's word. And that's what I believe it'll be. It's to them that call upon him that it'll be there in their conscience of their mind, their soul will be given unto him and to give him praise and honor. Noah, when he entered into the ark door was open for 7 days of grace, and no one traveled into it, but they made fun. They mocked. They're doing the same thing today, my friend. The ark door stayed open for 7 days. Now, how long, much longer, the grace of God is going to abide with the sins of the people here? It's been a long time. His grace is sufficient. But he's been merciful unto the nations around and about us, and nations have rose against nations, and earthquakes and everything. We read in the news there that just about the first day, part of the year there, first day of the year, well, had earthquakes in around in Oklahoma, around in North Carolina up on the East Coast, and over there in California up on the West Coast, and different places. And you say, well, they happen out. They do happen out. But one day it's going to be one of them big ones that are going to come down that they always talking about. Maybe I don't know when it's going to be, but the Bible says when you hear of these things and you know that they're happening, we hear about them, we know that they're happening, and these things that are transpiring, your Sodom and Gomorrah acts are coming up here in the 6th of January. They'll be given in marriages with the homosexuals, the same-sex marriages and everything, and the judges that's sitting on seats and everything is passing the laws and saying it's unconstitutional. God said it was an abomination, and he's going to destroy everything that is an abomination in his sight, and that is one of the things that he just despises, and he does hate men with men and women with women. He don't hate the person, but it's a sin they've allowed the devil to trap a man, like it did with Eve. She allowed the serpent to beguile her and got her into the eating of the fruit and give to Adam and put us in the world of trouble. My friends, it's time that we begin to realize our only hope is in Christ Jesus. And that's why I encourage you to read your Bible. We don't none read it enough, but read your Bible. Read it enough to get some truth out of it and get it into your heart, and knowing that these things are coming to pass. They're upon us. In Leviticus there, we find that that man was told not to lay with mankind. We said that a woman shouldn't stand before an animal of any kind or lay down with them. These things is an abomination in the sight of God. He didn't come to the place to where he told him he shouldn't uncover other people's nakedness and everything, moms and dads and sisters and brothers, but they all doing it. My friend, these things are God's going to punish them that do these things, and the only hope that we have is from sin unto salvation. The salvation cometh from God. And the sins is in the world, and the world is beginning to stink. The sins of the is beginning to stink in the nostrils of God. All these things that have been being fulfilled. We've heard of wars and rumors of wars. We've had wars and wars with nations against nations. Look at the Far East, how those people over there are fighting one another and trying to kill one another. It's been going on for a long, long time. It's fixing to come to a screeching halt because God's getting tired of it. And them that are serving him, he's going to preserve as he did Noah and his family in the ark. But the catching away of the church of the living God, them that have been born again will be caught up in the air at the rapture, we call it. The word is not really found in the Bible, but the catching away of the saints. And when we go to be with him, that's going to be our escape vehicle, is being caught away. But you're going to have to repent. You're going to have your sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have to have your name on God's book there and have him in you. Christ in us, the hope of glory, dwelling within us. He said, as the scripture teaches, to know ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That is, if you've been born again. And my friend, you can't just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and say that you are born again if you hadn't really repented. You can't say that and walk in the same old facetious ways, doing the same old day-to-day thing that you've been doing. There has to be a change. You have to stop sinning. You have to stop doing the things that you've done to please the flesh and get in tune with the Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and allow him to lead you. He ain't going to lead you by the hand unless you're one of his. But he will pass judgment upon them that know him not, or that he does not know. A lot of people, according to the word of God, is going to stand up there and say, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things. We've cast out devils, we've healed the sick, opened the blind eyes, and all these things we've done in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. The name of Jesus can be recognized by devils, as it was in Paul's time when the sons of Cephas went out and found this man that was possessed with the devil, and they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches, come out of him. He said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And he jumped up on him and sent him off down the road naked. So there's going to be a lot of people that's going to come short in that day. And I hope and pray that you won't be one of them, like as I do myself. I'm trying my best to be led by the Spirit of the living God, to understand that he is my only hope of salvation. There's no other name given. There's no other plan. There's no other way we can get there except through the door, as my wife was speaking. He is the door. He is the way. There's no man gets there except through him. He stands at the door knocking. And he said, if any man will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. My friend, if you don't open up your heart's door and let him come in, he ain't going to come in and kick the door down against your will, because he made you a free moral agent. You can choose you this day to whom you'll serve. You can serve the world and the things thereof, and to please the flesh, and go ahead and your merry way, and you may live to be a ripe old age, and you may splunder and wander and get to be up on top of the ladder, so they say, and do all these things and be so happy with yourself. But if you don't know Jesus, when it comes that time to enter into the kingdom of God, you ain't going to make it, simply because that sin is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not going to be a part of his kingdom. He's coming back one day to receive his own. But if you're not prayed up, ready to go up, and been born again of the water and of the Spirit, and got your sins under the blood, you ain't going to make it, my friend. The Spirit of God will have to enter into that old body that's laying in the dust of the earth and bring it forth from corruption to incorruption. Them that remain to be alive, it'll have to change them from mortal to immortality and break the bonds of the gravitation of this earth from that, and to be carried up into the air to meet the Lord. My friend, it's time we got it right. It's time to believe what the scripture says, and time to get it right. And the day is the day of time to get it right. In Sodom and Gomorrah's time, God spared it if it had been 10 people. But there wasn't 10 there. There was only 3 that really got out. 4 got out, and 1 was turned back and denied freedom. But Lot and his 2 daughters got out. But my friend, it's time that we got to understand that God is going to have a people. He's going to have a people. He said that a remnant, even with Jerusalem, the remnant of the Jewish people, but yet he told Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations. He said, if you can count the stars, or if a man could count the dust of the earth, then he would count his people. But think about all of them that have come and gone. But he said only a remnant's going to be make it. 12,000 out of each tribe, 144,000. Now, there's an organization going around and saying that they are the 144,000, but you got to be in that number nationally born Jews, and they are far from that. So they're emphasizing this thing that they got, this doctrine that they got, is a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. My friend, it's time we read the Bible. It's time we begin to believe what God had to say. If we look into the scriptures in Matthew 24, pretty well sums it up. He says that there was a time there that no man knows the day or the hour, but it's kept unto the Father the days of Noah, and 24 and 36, he said, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as it days of Noah, Noah went, wherein so shall it coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of there before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marriage and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. My friend, it's time that we begin to get it right. It's time that we got to understand that those people in Noah's day had 7 days of grace. We've been living in the grace of God for a lot longer than that. But one day his patience, is you, if you want to call it that, his grace is going to come up and be ended. He said his spirit would not always strive with man. So one day he's going to come and destroy all that is ungodly, all that represents sin. Even to the devil himself is going to be cast into hell with all false teachers and preachers and all sinners. My friend, it's time we need to be right with God. It's time today is the day of salvation. But we're looking at the time that people are looking at to have a presidential election in year 2016. Like I said a while ago, we may not even get to go through that for a number of reasons, but the Lord may come back. This may be the year that all things be fulfilled. Because if we look into the scriptures and we see the things that are happening today, we know that the scriptures are being fulfilled. And that person that says that there is no God, he's a bigger fool than any of us. My friend, it's time we get it right. It's time to look into the scriptures and find out what God had to say about this sinful and adulterous generation that we're living in. It's time that we know that the coming of the Lord is soon to take place. All the things that he spoke about, and when we look at it, we can't look back into the world and expect to accomplish anything. If we look into the times of Luke in the 17th chapter and in the 24th verse, he said, for as the lightning that shineth out of one part of heaven unto shineth into another part of heaven, so shall it also be when the coming of the Son of Man in his day. But first must be suffered many things and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage till the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood took them and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they brought, and they sold, and they planted, and they built. And the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man be revealed. And it says in 32, verse 32, remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall save his life. That is, if you serve in the Lord and you lose your life were a testimony for him. My friend, it's time we need to understand and realize and believe what God has trying to tell us in the written letter that was told over 2,000 years ago about the things that was transpiring in yours and my day. It's all coming to pass, and we're looking at the time that the Lord is going to come back, and we need to understand. We know that how many people are hating other people because of the name of the Lord, and there it's coming to be fulfilled. We look into the place that we're in, that you've got false teachers arising upon the scene, have been for some time, but it's getting worse. I've been into places that we're in, they teach all kinds of rotten stuff. The Bible doesn't back it up, but they went through the scripture and found out what they wanted it sound like, and they began to say that this and say that, but it's not, the Bible doesn't back it up. It's just that they went through a few scriptures and they say they rightly divide him, but they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that God and is the sun and the moon, the sun is the Father and the moon is the sun, the brighter light and the lesser light. But when
Jesus said, "I am the light."
Jesus spoke to himself and said he was the light. Now, when Saul was on the road to Damascus and going to put people in jail for calling upon the name of the Lord, and they doing that today, but when the great light, brighter than the noonday sun, shined down upon him and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice and he spoke and said, "Lord, who art thou?" And he said, "I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest." Now, does that sound like that them people know what they're talking about when they say the Father is the brighter light? When Jesus was there and he spoke to Saul, and Saul was given a revelation that was cleared up, and he brought forth unto the Gentiles and said God was manifested in the flesh, and these people are saying that he was created like you and I, any other man. Well, if he had been, friend, his blood would have been tainted with sin, and it would not have been able to abolish yours and my sins. So let's look into the scriptures and find out what is right and what is wrong with this present teaching of some of these people today, trying to use the word of God for their own personal gain and getting your money or whatever it is, and that they can get out of you, and then teach you a lie and send you to hell along with them. My friends, it's time we begin to realize that God is truth. Jesus was asked the question by Pilate when Jesus was there before Pilate being judged. And he said, "What is truth?" And Jesus said, "I am the truth." Well, if he's the truth, he said he was. He said he was the Son of God. He also said he was God in the flesh. So who are we going to believe? We're going to believe the agnostics and the sinners and these false teachers and them people that claims to be priests of God and all that, and they got all the answers. And the only answer he's got is he needs to repent. That's the kind of answer I give to him. He cannot save your soul. He cannot forgive your sins. Only one that can forgive sin, and that's Jesus Christ our Lord. We can pray for one another. We can offer up a sacrifice of praise for our kindred and for our friends and neighbors, even our enemies, calling upon the name of the Lord that some way, somehow, that he might show his mercy to them, that they may believe upon him and call upon his name for repentance. That's the only hope they've got, is for them that would call upon the name of the Lord on their behalf. But it's bottom line, it's up to them. They're the ones that's going to have to make the choice. They're the ones that's going to have to receive the grace of God and the mercy of God by repentance. Oh, as my wife was saying, that the grace is for every morning you wake up, it's only by the grace of God. So it's renewed every day. We need to understand that Nineveh, as my wife was saying, Nineveh, there was spared because they believed the preaching of Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go because he felt any of them people was wicked people. Jonah didn't care about them being saved. Destroy them all and let them go. But God wanted to save them if they would. But when Jonah finally got out and got it right and went into Nineveh preaching that the Lord was going to destroy it, even to the king come down off his throne and put on sackcloth. Even to the donkeys, they put sackcloth on them. Everybody went to fasting in sackcloth. Everybody. And God spared it. Jonah got upset. But nevertheless, later on, they went back in their own sinful nature ways and was destroyed. The world today cried out, God bless America, when they tore the towers down in New York and all the other things that maybe that has happened and transpired, that people saying, God bless America, help us, help us. But after a few days, they go right back into the same old rut they were walking in. So God's mercy has been upon us for a long, long time, my friend. But the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon some of those same people that hollered, God bless America, simply because they have not repented or won't repent. The door of opportunity for salvation is open, my friend, today. Tomorrow it may not be open for many people, because many people will be, some way or another, their life will be ended in a tragedy, or either just go to sleep and not wake up, or some kind of sickness, or one thing or another. Many people will pass away tonight throughout the land from all around. Some will make it and some won't, simply because they put it off one time too many. Today is a day of salvation. Let me encourage you. Repent, calling upon the name of the Lord, reading your Bible, believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your personal Savior while you have the opportunity. Tomorrow may be too late. I'm not a fatalist. I'm just telling you plain and truth, not beating around the bush. I'm not telling you a sob story, but I'm telling you it's going to be as God would have it to be. You got to repent in order to be saved. You got to live a Christian life. And I don't mean just a haphazard way and everything. You're going to have to love your neighbor. You're going to have to love your enemy. You can't hate one another. If you hate your brother, how can you love God? If you hate your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God to whom you have not seen? So you got to love even to your enemies. I pray often, Lord, help me to love them that is hard for me to love. Love through me them that are unlovable. Love will bring forth and heal an abundance of things, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So you got to believe in the only begotten of God, the man called Jesus. He's our only hope. He is the one that died for your sin. He's the one that hung on the cross, suspended between the heavens and the earth, and cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, my friends, it's time we got to realize our only hope is in Christ Jesus, not in the some of this other stuff that people has gotten into, and these things that are going on in the world. We got to understand this same-sex marriage is a stench in the nostrils of God, and he's not pleased with it. And as he goes on to say, and Paul speaks about it in Romans there in the first chapter, there when he goes to tell us about these things, my friend, he says that he talks pretty plain about it. And he says that there in Romans, the first chapter, if you turn with it there for me, we read it and look into it, and we'll know that Paul's confession to Roman Christians and the power of the gospel, the guilt of mankind, Romans 1:17. Therefore, then the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, for man who holds the truth of unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorify him not, as God neither were they thankful, because of their vain imaginations and their foolish hearts was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorrupted God into images made like corruption, man and bird, and four-footed beast, and creeping things, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness throughout the lust of their own heart, being dishonor their own body between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship, and served the creature before more than creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause gave them up to a vile reputation. Even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and received to themselves that recompense of their error which was meant. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, that they do these things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, imagining, and perverted, backbiting, haters of God, despising, proud, blasphemers. My friend, it's all right there. I see our time is getting close, but I want to thank you for listening to us. And as my wife said, we give you our email address. We don't go into this for the dollars and cents. I just want to win a soul for the kingdom of God. That's my main goal, because silver and the gold won't get you into the kingdom of God. A lot of people are wanting to get an almighty dollar. They want to live in the best mansion they can afford to get out in some way, $100,000 homes and all that, drive the best automobile and everything, and go this and go there and all over the world and do these things to please the lust of the flesh. My friend, I'm satisfied that God has met all of my needs. I've got transportation. I've got a roof over my head, food for my belly, shoes for my feet. And he promised us that he would supply our needs, but actually all he really said, he would give bread and water. I've got more than that. I know there's a lot of people hungry today, but there's a lot of people who are out there on the streets simply because they're too lazy to work. God said if a man don't work, or Paul wrote it rather, but God inspired him to do it, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. So there's jobs to be had. But many of those people are out on the street is dodging the law or one way or the other. And they know they could be traced down if they stand still very long and given the Social Security number to be in the work. They may be behind in this child support or many things that would cause them to be out there. But the love of God will bring them in, to transform them out of that old lifestyle and bring them into the truth of God's word. And they may make a commitment to God, and God will work a miracle in their lives, but only if they repent. God's not going to do for them what they can do for themselves, but because that they won't do for themselves and they expect God to perform miracles and do all these things for them and everything, and they won't even do nothing for themselves. They won't even repent. I don't think God appreciates nothing of the like that. I don't think he's going to move on their behalf. But nevertheless, friend, We need to understand the word of God is being fulfilled in yours and my day. And he said, the generation that seeth these things come to pass, that generation will not pass away until all things be fulfilled. And we're looking at those things today of the fulfillment of the scriptures. But he said, when we see this day approaching, see these things transpiring, in other words, and knowing that the time of the redemption draweth nigh, he said, look up and rejoice, for thy redemption draweth nigh. Those that are prepared to go with the Lord when he comes can rejoice in the satisfaction to know that the time is almost here. May God richly keep you and bless you, those that will call upon his name. And let's pray for those that there may be a multitude or a harvest would come in to the Lord before it's eternally too late. May God bless you and keep you till next time. The Lord be with you. Take time for Jesus. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are